This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer.
It's another beautiful day in paradise. Hello, I'm Rhett Palmer. And it's a new day with Rhett Palmer, a brand new day here. We have my friend Jad.
Hello.
And he's just returned from Lebanon.
Yep, been back for
Lebanon.
A few months now.
He's a follower in Yeshua, Jesus.
Amen.
Christianity is pretty commonplace in Lebanon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more common than all. Egypt has a high Christian population as well, but Lebanon, as a percentage, has the highest Christian population in the Middle East.
So your father is a doctor before you and has a practice here in Florida. How was it that a family of Lebanese end up in Vero Beach in Sebastian, Florida?
So both my parents left Lebanon because of the civil war that happened in the 80s. And they actually met here in Florida, ironically. They're both fully Lebanese. They had never met before they left. They met at USF, actually. My mom was taking classes there. So for undergrad, my dad would take some classes there as well, but his alma mater is FAU. And so, yeah, they ended up dating there in South Florida. My dad just had family there. My mom landed here in South Florida as well. And
would they have met back in Lebanon? I mean, in other words, sometimes you find out that, like, I know a Philippine couple here.
Yeah.
And they came to America, met here, and yet they're both in the same town back there, as if it was fate or destiny.
Yeah, they're not from the same town. I'm not sure that they ever would have. It's possible that they might have encountered each other, but they really are not aware of any encounter they had in Lebanon.
Okay, did your father go to med school here?
Yeah, he went to medical school at Nova Southeastern, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they came here as refugees escaping the war in Lebanon, they were given, they became full citizens?
Yeah, so they immigrated with visas. Mm-hmm. My mom had a visa for being a student. My dad actually was on a path to citizenship at the time. And so, yeah, they became naturalized shortly after, but it was all through, you know, the proper.
How do you feel about that? Do you think we should just, as a family that came, well, so was mine. I mean, I'm Irish. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were even perhaps slaves, my forefathers, in order to pay off the debt of having gotten here. But do you think we should open the gates wider? Do you think everybody should have to go through the same procedure as your parents had to go through?
I'd say the system is in place for a reason. I think that, you know, being empathetic and humanitarian is good. However, I wouldn't say opening the gates is the right answer. I think we should definitely encourage people to go through the system and hold
people. If at all possible, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, there needs to be a level of control. You know, it's a matter of national security and just other factors, you know. I mean,
up until this point, even Clinton, even Barack Obama, even the Bushes, everybody agreed that people should come in the proper way and have to go through the hoops, you know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, of course, encouraging a system is, I mean, I don't think anyone should say, oh, well, we're going to have a process, but we're just totally going to circumvent or disrespect it. I think that the real answer lies in making sure that that process is fair and, mm-hmm. and timely, you know.
Yeah.
People shouldn't feel like it's a bunch of hoops and it takes forever, but,
no.
You know, it should be efficient and they should get quick answers.
Yeah.
There needs
to be a filtering system of sorts. Well, we're here to, I don't mind talking politics and stuff, but of course, here you are, Jad. How old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26 years of age.
Yes.
You're on fire for the Lord. You're not just a Christian. You're not just a pew sitter. You're really on fire. I mean, you went back to Lebanon to be a missionary, so to speak, to perhaps convert young people to Jesus over there, correct?
Yeah, all types of people, all walks of life, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so now there's the perfunctory duty of sitting in a pew, as I said. You know, Billy Graham said a lot of people get just enough that they never get it.
Mm-hmm.
They go to church a little bit. They go, what's it called, CEO?
Christmas and Easter only, yeah.
Christmas and Easter only.
Right.
And You and I, of course, attended an Easter celebration together recently. I was front row.
Yeah.
At the Calvary Chapel over at the
Riverside Park. Yeah.
Riverside Park. I went to Oceans on Friday night, and then on Sunday morning went to the outside event, which had over 3,000 people. It was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it was remarkable.
You know, I feel that the Calvary is the division of the word was exceptional. That preacher is very exceptionally gifted intellectually.
Yeah, Jim is a great Bible teacher.
Yeah, it's a Bible teacher. They tend to limit the spirit and the power thereof. But a lot of people are that way. If they can't contain it and they can't control it, they fear it and don't want to enter into that realm and sort of rewrite scriptures for as far as tongues and stuff like that. And I can understand that, because that can get a little wacky and crazy if it's not handled properly. And where that is, I don't know. I wasn't born to be a pastor, but I love Oceans Unite, but I really love Calvary also for the teaching, and it was phenomenal. What was real? I burst out in tears. Of course, I don't know if you did, but when I saw those young people come forward, man,
that was awesome.
Wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
did it touch your heart too?
Absolutely, yeah. It's amazing to see.
Easter's amazing thing. I went to the deli at Publix the next day, or that maybe it was that night, and it was this large, overweight black lady, older black lady. And I said, "How was your Easter?" And she goes, "Oh, it was good." You know, I said, I went to church, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I said, I went to church. She saw kids come forward. She said, "Yeah, we had a whole lot of young people come forward." She says, "I started crying." I said, "Well, I was crying too." Yeah. You know? Different churches.
You guys had very similar experiences.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really very exciting.
That's
of course,
awesome.
Your dad, the doctor. I was going to say attorney. My dad was an attorney. Your dad, the doctor, who's a vascular surgeon.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's the name of his practice up in Sebastian?
Advanced Vascular Solutions.
Yeah, and you kind of head up. You're the business guy, right?
Yeah, so I had actually recently stepped away from Advanced Vascular Solutions. I'm still helping as a consultant. Mm-hmm. However, I started my own company for healthcare consulting.
Really?
Yeah, it's called CareFlow.
CareFlow.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, keeping the flow a-go.
Yes, keeping the flow of the care a-going.
Yeah, so FlowGo, that sounds like a good, you can come in here and sit down. That sounds like a good title for it. You know, that will, of course, connect with my new podcast. I have the Rhett Palmer podcast, which, by the way, was already number 42 in Austria, number 30-something in Sweden. We've been getting phone calls from England, and that's the Rhett Palmer podcast. But we've also started Dr. Pod.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Doc Pod.
And so the Doc Pod. Mm-hmm. The Doctor Pod. So we'll have to do an all new interview with the dad one of these days on that.
Yeah.
Might want to talk to you. Maybe you'll become so big and successful you can sponsor that.
Hey.
It's always good to make money from my friends. Anyway, I want to know about your faith.
Mm.
Your faith. But first, someone has just walked into the room. You might want to put her mic on. We have a young lady who's sitting over here. And your name is?
Lindsay Leoda.
Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I met your mom the other day. And she's really sweet, really pretty, really nice.
Thank you.
And has a very gentle, great spirit. For a tender and gentle spirit in a woman is of great value in the eyes of God. That's what it says in the scripture.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she lives up in Tennessee. And Winston. Winston's taking care of things. He'll get. Winston, I forgot to get my coffee. Do you want some coffee?
Sure.
Okay, a cup black or cream and sugar?
Just black.
Okay, talking to the microphone because we are live and we are recording, and this will eventually end up in the library for the next 30 years. So you want to make sure what you say is proper etiquette and clean and wholesome. So anyway, and you two just met recently. How long ago did you two meet?
December.
Mm-hmm. December.
December,
yeah. We started talking in December.
Yeah, started talking. Where did you start talking to her?
Yeah, well, we really just wanted to get to know each other. I mean, you know.
Where did you meet?
Through Calvary.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You were at Calvary.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were already a believer?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, good, good. Mm-hmm. You remember I was a little worried on Facebook. I go,
yeah.
I got to watch out for my John.
My brother.
Yes, my younger brother.
Yes, yes.
So, oh, thank you, Winston. My coffee. And your coffee will be forthcoming.
All right.
It cost you, though. No.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about faith, though.
Yes.
you're pretty remarkable in your profound faith of Jesus. So, like I said, Billy Graham says a lot of people go to church as a perfunctory duty. They get just enough that they never get it. And if that's somebody listening now, you need to listen to this, because what happened to you? What age do you know that you encountered a living God as opposed to a religiosity?
So it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yes.
Only 2 years ago. And you're 26, so that would have been 24 years of age.
Yeah. Well, the story does go a little bit earlier, of course. I mean, you know, some of us, especially in this country, have some level of, you know, encounter with, if not the Lord himself, or at least, you know, if we don't realize it as
Thanks,
the Lord.
Wilson.
You know, people either will hear about Jesus or they'll go to church, right, growing up, maybe to some effect. And I used to go to a Catholic church growing up for a little bit. We stopped going around when I was probably 10 years old, and then...
So that's where your parents went initially?
Yeah, yeah. And then fast forward...
Was Catholicism popular in Lebanon?
It is, yeah. There's different... It's more traditional churches that are popular, you know, the Orthodox, the Catholic Church.
Presbyterian, what's the word I'm looking for? Conservative.
Yeah, the traditional churches, exactly. Yeah. So... So, yeah, that was my experience, and I did appreciate it. I look back on it, and I do think it does play a factor. You know, obviously, people come from different denominations, and I think every church has imperfections, and, you know, obviously some more than others. But anyway, when I really got to know Jesus was actually, like I said, 2 years ago, when I started picking up my cross and walking with him daily. And that happened because when I was in high school, went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes football camp. I made a public decision to give my life to Christ, but I wasn't reading the Bible as much as I should have been. I was kind of relying on Sundays, you know, going to church and hearing verses here and there, kind of popcorn.
Yeah, Sunday Christian.
Yeah, exactly. But, I was young, and I was trying. I just didn't really have good discipleship, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deliberate discipleship wasn't there.
Was there some dark period or anything that brought you to your knees, or was it just
a
natural or what do they call it, organic in this day and age?
Do you know Psalm 117?
I've heard of it, but I don't know. Cannot quote it right
now. So, yeah, it's a long one, but it talks about all the different types of people that will either rebel or stray away.
117?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'll write that down for later.
It's one of the longer psalms, and it's very profound in how the Lord will use people's disobedience to you know, like you said, kind of bring them to their knees and bring them back. And so when I went to college, I wanted to live that prodigal son lifestyle. You know, I wanted my
wine, women, and song.
Yeah. So. Taking my father's inheritance early, quote unquote, and trying to cash it all out. And after graduation, you know, just getting integrated back into the real world, I just found myself stressed and empty. And, you know, I developed addictions and I had a lot
you
of
did?
Different. Yeah.
I never knew that about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's something else we have in common.
Yeah. So
I didn't drink till I was 50 years of age.
Yeah.
Then with my mother's death, the end of a relationship, I started to get. God, every night, and then all of a sudden it grabs you.
Right.
The Indians have a saying, I think it is, they say, man have first drink, man have second drink, third drink have man. My 95-year-old friend taught me that.
Yeah.
Man have first drink, man have second drink, third drink's got the man.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a
so that happened
slope.
To you?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, and I actually got to a point where I had some health problems, and I started...
Because of the addiction? Or
yeah. What? Yeah, because, you know, staying up late and, you know, abusing the body, not taking care of the temple.
Your schoolwork probably was
part of that,
not
definitely.
Disciplined either, right?
Well, I wasn't smart about it, but I still had to get it done. I mean, I was studying industrial engineering, and so that was part of the thing is, you know, I would party, and then I would need to make up the time to study it, you know, and so I would forsake my sleep many times. And.
Of course, you can do that when you're young.
Yeah, I mean, but you think you can do it forever when you're young, too, and then it catches up to you. And so, but the good news is, you know, long story short, ended up turning to the Lord, and I...
Okay, well, how did that happen?
So, well, I actually ended up getting COVID about 2 years ago, and...
Yeah, but I knew you before COVID, didn't I? Yeah.
It was actually right in the middle. Yeah.
Is that when I met you during COVID?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was June of 2020, I think.
How did I meet you? Oh, I know, through the fellow who's in real estate locally, yeah. The tall guy who went to school in Poland.
Yeah, Chris Flagg. Yeah. So he brought you into the office, actually, and we had a conversation.
And then found out that you were going to Calvary, and then you popped over to see my church. And,
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's not my church.
Actually. Right, the church you go to.
I don't own any church.
Yeah. But, so,
let's do something religious. Okay, let's have a collection. I own this church.
Right, I'm a partner.
Rhett, I am not pleased with you. Okay. All right, Dad, I repent. No, I don't keep my money off the money. I keep my hands off the money.
Right.
All right, so go ahead. Anyway, so.
So I ended up getting COVID, and because of all of the different conversations surrounding.
So you thought you might die and you call out to God or what?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just trying to be funny.
No, yeah, I definitely, because of my health problems, I had heart issues. Like, I had high blood pressure, and I would get heart palpitations.
You're so young.
Yeah, so.
Are you okay now, I hope?
Yeah, I'm definitely. That's how the story ends.
That's kind of ironic. Your dad's a vascular surgeon. I know. You have heart problems.
It is very ironic. Yeah, it's kind of sad. But, again, it ends well because when I did give my life to Jesus, it all supernaturally went away.
Okay, listen, you can't just skim over this thing.
Yeah.
When you gave my life to Jesus, and everything went away.
Right.
Oh, wait a second.
All right.
Well, there's got to be a whole lot that takes place because most people resist the religiosity. I know I used to think Jesus was a bunch of bunk. Religion,
right.
It took me till I was 29. So you're in your early 20s. What happens? You know, you have a perfunctory. You know, you went to Catholic church.
Yeah.
Okay, nice, but there was nothing going on deep within you.
Right. It was more...
Was there one specific day, one specific event?
Yes, it was... Well, it was because when I was in high school, I had a genuine desire to follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had made promises to read the Bible, and part of the problem was I tried to read the Bible from the front to the back, from Genesis through Revelation, in order.
Yeah.
And I got
I couldn't understand a thing before the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. You
know, and who begat who?
Right. Yeah. and all the Levitical laws, you know, that kind of got me lost. And so.
So
I stopped. I stopped reading it.
Excuse me.
And slowly but surely, you know, strayed away from that path, and then I ended up in college, and then there was a lot of temptation there that got the best of me, and we go to this point in time where I have COVID, and I'm in my room, I'm quarantined, and I'm sitting there, I'm sweating. I had some pretty intense symptoms. I didn't ever get hospitalized, but I actually did end up getting it pretty intensely.
Was it hard for you to breathe at any point?
Yeah, I would say it was a little bit. I definitely had a pressure, on my chest.
Have you gotten your taste back? I still if I eat popcorn now or if I eat bread, for instance, I still enjoy what's inside the bread, salt, sugar. I can taste a lot of things, but like with popcorn, the fake popcorn that they use to package stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like taking a bite of that. You get the crunch and then there's no poof. Of flavor.
Like the packing peanuts? Peanuts?
Yeah, it tastes like that. It's like there's nothing. You crunch on a piece of toasted bread, no longer does the toast taste, that brown taste come shooting
right.
up.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten back all my taste.
Yeah, ironically, I never lost my taste or smell, which was a blessing because my mom, she was actually taking care of me, and so she would make me these amazing meals for pretty much every meal.
Great mom. She's ever in that seat
months ago. Yeah, so she made me breakfast, lunch,
pretty
and dinner.
Pretty kind.
And knows how to cook.
And knows how to cook. Yeah.
So, and a lot of other good things.
Does she cook a lot of Lebanese food?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So plus American?
All kinds. Italian.
When I think of Lebanese food, I think of, what do I think of? I think of lentils. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one
what
of the
else
dishes.
What else is really, what would you
eat? You know, there's tabbouleh, kibbeh, goat, yeah, lamb, goat. Yeah.
Do you know the number one eaten meat in the world is goat?
Most people not surprised.
Yeah. So you're okay with eating goat?
Yeah.
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 Or lamb, I think.
You're okay with lamb?
Lamb, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever... I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if I even go, but normally it's lamb.
Yeah, I was gonna go into the bagel business when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
I thought about it, you know.
Yeah.
I have 10 ideas every day at least. And I wrote a jingle. Lamb's bagels. A better bagel you can't bite. Boom, boom, boom. Lamb's bagels. You got a hearty appetite. From toasted butter to caviar. When you eat lambs, you eat like a star. Lamb's bagels. A better bagel you can't bite. Mm-mm. Lamb's bagels.
That was good.
Except it's a turnoff because a lot of people don't like lamb.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like, what, is there lamb in the bagel?
Well, I named it that because I just become a Christian.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Jesus, the right. Lamb of God, you know.
Amen.
So, anyway.
So, yeah.
I'll probably arrive in heaven when they say, hey, Brett, come here.
We got some lamb.
Also, they'll come up, there'll be this big bill. Looks like a McDonald's and Lance Bagel. Joke's on you, Brett.
No, that's funny.
So, anyway, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say... you know, that experience, it wasn't just the fear of death necessarily. It was all the different factors that kind of came together. I was already, even before I had COVID, struggling with a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I was lost. I think that's the best way to describe it.
And you knew it?
Well, I didn't know it until until I opened the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what happened when you opened the Bible?
It set my soul on fire. I mean,
really? Just from starting to read it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I feel it was actually the spirit that led me to open it, because when I was sitting in bed, I almost heard, not audibly but within me, a voice that encouraged me to reach over, and I had a Bible in my dresser right next to my bed.
Really?
It was the Bible that I had promised to read beforehand, but I hadn't opened it for about 6 years.
Who did you promise that to?
To God.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for a while, this religion.
Yes.
There's a little arguing going on here.
Yeah, there's a
read this whole Bible. Story. Okay, well, never got around to it.
Right. Well,
so that's... now the voice comes in. And listen, it's hard to discern that, but I know, like, the day my mother died, mm-hmm. I was on the phone with her after my show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving home. I get home and say, Mom, okay, nice talking to you. I'm going to go upstairs to my office at my house. I go upstairs and a voice within me, not an audible voice. I've had an audible voice, but this time it was a voice within me said, call your mother, call her now. I'm not going to call my mother now. I said, I just got off the phone with her. I called her. Bingo, she says, the ambulance is on its way. We know she had your father would know about this.
Abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Yeah. And that was, I would lose her that day. But I managed to rush through red lights, literally, and got to her place.
Yeah.
And she says, grab my makeup bag there. The firefighters and everybody were there, and they put her in the ambulance. I followed it, but that was it. But anyway, the point is, there is a voice. So this day, you hear a voice, and you have an unction that says, pick up this Bible. It's in that drawer.
Yeah, and it also...
I haven't forgotten your vow.
Right. Well, I think that it was more to help me at that point in time.
Sure.
As
opposed to being dictator.
Yeah.
I will read my Bible personally.
It was definitely an encouragement.
Yeah.
And it also encouraged me to start in Matthew this time, which was a huge distinction. Yeah. You know, so that was...
Yeah, you didn't want to read Leviticus first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You probably liked it because of the letter L, Lebanese, Leviticus.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I could do that for Luke, maybe.
So you started with Matthew.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... No, that's John.
That's John.
Okay, yeah. So you get into Matthew, and what happens?
Like I said, I mean, every word just jumped off the page, and especially, you know, I have the red letter Bible, so reading Jesus' words, I just had full faith within me at that point in time that that's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically remember the Sermon on the Mount, reading through that. And that one, you know, when I say my soul was set on fire, I realized the standard of morality of God and just how short I had fallen in my life. And again, you know, we think about all these different commandments that we have in terms of avoiding sin and what's sin. And when I was younger, my only understanding of those commandments, like, for example, you know, no premarital sexual relations, you know, no excessive alcohol, all these different things, I just knew them as rules. I didn't know the scripture that was tied to them. I just knew, okay, if I'm going to be a Christian, these are the things I had to do. But when I read Jesus' words And you get his logic and his
love
wisdom
behind those dictates. They're not dictators like a dictatorship.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think when I said, be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you. Well, my father was killed when I was younger, so I had a stepfather that was very abusive with his drinking and yelling. And, you know, I thought, you be thankful in all things. Mm-hmm. This is the will of God for you. Right. Instead, I realized later on, no, it's be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God for you, because you're going to have a much better life if you're thankful.
Yeah, amen. It's all
an attitude of gratitude changes everything.
Right.
It's so anyway, that's just my own personal story. But so let's get back to you now.
Yeah. So I was reading through Matthew, reading the Sermon on the Mount, and you know, it's Jesus was talking about lust, and you know, if you even so much as look at a woman to lust for her in your mind, you've committed adultery against her in the heart.
Yeah.
And so I realized,
I saw you look askance at someone in the room there.
No. No.
She's sitting right there, buddy.
No lust here. No lust. But,
well, there's a difference between love and lust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what is it? Ephesians talks about that.
Mankind and hijacks all the beautiful things God makes and makes them ugly, what was meant to be beautiful. But go ahead.
Yeah.
So you're reading through the scriptures, Matthew, and you're reading all, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. Is there one point where, you know, like, you fall to your knees, hear the angels call?
So I ended up reaching back out to a friend who, he was a college classmate.
Yeah.
And he had come to the Lord about 2 years before this point, so maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was actually living in D.C. at the time when we had met up. You know, it was about, I would say, a year after he had come to the Lord. And he said, you know, can I take you out to lunch? And he was talking to me about Jesus and how excited he was, and he was going on and on. And at this point, I was kind of like the transgressed, you know, prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, man, it must be nice, you know, because I was thinking, oh, he's got a new faith. And so the only reason that he's this zealous is because he's only a year in. You know, give him another 5-6 years, he's going to be just like me, you know, kind of a salty sailor sitting there. You know, it was funny because we actually
ended up jaded and faded. Exactly. At the ripe old age. Yeah. 24. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we were sitting, there was like this bar in D.C., and it was just this one long, you know, and it was like 3 p.m., you know, it was like in the middle of the afternoon, and he was sitting there because he wanted to go with me wherever I wanted to go just to tell me the good news and to talk about Jesus. So I was, you know, drinking like a Jameson ginger or something like that. He wasn't drinking anything, maybe like a water. And, you know, so we're sitting there alone at this bar, and he's going on, and I'm just sitting there like, you know, sipping on whiskey and telling him that, must be nice, blah, blah, blah. You know, but 2 years later,
drinking whiskey, listening about Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a country song.
For real.
Oh, drinking my whiskey, listen to tales of the Lord. I'm not in one accord.
3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Drinking my depressant.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really fun. You think it is, but it's not.
No, not as good as the Spirit, that's for
no,
sure.
No, I remember the moment I got born again. I was filled with the joy. I was alone in my living room. I went, wow, this is why people do drugs. This is the drugs are the counter, the counterfeit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So go ahead. So anyway, so you're there drinking your whiskey and listening to tales of the Lord.
Yeah. And so, you know, he probably never would have expected that 2 years later I would reach back out to him to tell him that I was interested again. Yeah.
Oh,
because
really?
At the time,
you had an appetite.
Yeah. Because at this point, you know, I'd opened my Bible and I had a million questions and I wanted to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously he was delighted to receive that phone call from me to hear that this experience had happened to me. And we had
he
a conversation.
Hadn't become a holy priest and lived on the top of the mountain yet.
No. He's I don't.
I can no longer speak with you.
No, he's really good, actually. He's very humble. He studies the Word. I mean, we're all on a path. You know, the Lord is doing work in all of our lives. And
okay, so what happens? You call him up.
I call him up. He invites me to church, and I end up going up to his church. And I remember.
Is this around here?
This was in Orlando, actually.
Okay.
I was living here, but he invited me up to Orlando.
What kind of a church?
It's called Antioch Orlando.
Is that like as a non-denom?
Yeah, non-denominational.
Yeah, yeah.
They do have a mission focus,
mm-hmm.
and so that's kind of that's how I ended up getting into mission trips, and that's how I learned about
it. I think that's the heart of God. I wouldn't have this show if I hadn't gone to Haiti on a food drive. I'd already been to Africa, went to Haiti, and because I went there, the family took me over from Sarasota when we got back to the United States and introduced me to Vero Beach.
Yeah.
All this happened because I was willing to go. You know,
amen.
And that's true for anybody out there listening.
Amen. Yeah.
No one has given up wife, children, land, home that will not receive a hundredfold in this life and the life to come.
Amen. Yeah, honestly.
So that's where you got your love for missionary. Okay, so you go to the Antioch Church.
Yes.
What happens there?
During worship, I am praying to the Lord to soften my heart and for forgiveness.
You actually were praying for him to soften your heart. So you knew you had a hard heart?
Yeah.
That's exceptional.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure how, but I distinctly remember praying for that, for him to break the hardness of my heart.
Wow.
And
so you'd be tenderhearted towards the Lord.
Yeah. And for him to enter in again. And then my friend came over, and he started praying for me, too, while it was in the middle of worship. And so he laid his hands on me. He started praying. And I remember he was saying, I don't remember the rest of his prayer, but I do remember in the beginning he said, Lord, this is your prodigal son. He's come home. And when he said that, when he said those words, I just, you know, a feeling of repentance just overwhelmed me and came over me.
A contriteness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
He says, a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise.
Right.
A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering candle he will not snuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. I don't know about you, but I was arrogant.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know I was arrogant, but I was.
Yeah.
And then God go, yeah, well, I remember you talking about this. I don't think we're gonna include you here.
Yeah.
Instead, he goes, when you come to him broken and contrite, somehow he's merciful.
Right.
And loving.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're there. You're having this contrite and broken heart.
Yeah. And I just remember weeping when my friend was praying for me. And in that moment, that's when I believed I was baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful.
Because after that, I started looking around, and it was almost as if everything was glowing, you know?
Yes.
And,
the sky was bluer than blue.
Yeah.
The white of the clouds was whiter than white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people were just, you know, I was seeing them for their spirit and their soul, not for, you know, their outward appearance. And I just felt so much, you know, agape love.
Yeah.
I felt that agape love towards people. I felt like I was seeing things the way that God sees things. You know, he was giving me some insight into that. And
that's
so
wonderful.
Yeah, and it talks about in Scripture the deposit of the Holy Spirit that he puts in us to confirm the faith. So
yeah.
I look back on that, and it's like I've seen way too much to ever really question the existence of God and, you know,
that's
the Bible.
Great.
And
yeah.
So that's what happened to me.
What happens next?
So I obviously grow an affinity for this church, but I don't live in Orlando, so
kind of a long drive.
Right. Another interesting part of the story is about 3 months before that this happened, I had been listening to Calvary on the radio, going to and from work, even though I wasn't necessarily a professed believer again at this point in time.
Listening to my competition there.
Yeah. Well,
we're all on the same team, I know. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Joke.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it was.
So you're listening to Calvary Chapel on the air.
Yeah, and you know, I heard again. I think Calvary is really well focused on sound biblical teaching, and
it is.
I knew
the pastor who started that,
Chuck Smith.
I actually broke bread with Chuck.
That's awesome.
What a lovely.
Yeah.
Like I was in my 20s, and what a lovely, maybe early 30s, lovely grandfather little type, extremely wise.
Right.
Very gentle, no pretense, no affectations.
Yeah.
This guy was the real McCoy.
Yeah.
He's right up there with Billy Graham, who I also
know. Oh, yeah. Well, like Jesus says, you'll know a man by his fruits.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, the Calvary Chapels all over the world that are making
I wish
impact.
I could meet him again, because there is a certain anointing. Wherever I go, when I was first came to know the Lord in Albany, New York, there was this really wealthy young attorney, 37 mm-hmm. years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been, I don't know, one of those people he called Christian Science or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he calls out, he gets born again, right,
mm-hmm.
and starts this Calvary Chapel Church.
Yeah.
And there maybe were 25 members, But he was very, very good. Of course, as an attorney, he would be, of dividing the word.
Yeah.
They tend to be a little resistant of what they can't control, the, you know, limiting the power of the spirit thereof. That's my take.
Well, have you ever, like, looked up the Calvary Chapel pillars?
No, but you know I should.
Yeah.
And but I can tell you what, I was flabbergasted on Easter. Yeah. The preacher here in town here.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal up on that platform.
Yeah, and even if you speak with Jim, because I've asked him this before.
Yeah.
Because I might have had a similar sense earlier on that there was, you know, because you compare and contrast.
They don't seem huggy-huggy, lovey-lovey.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I think the focus is on sound doctrine. You know, that's really important to them, and rightfully so, because...
But remember, the letter of the law causes death. The spirit of the law gives life.
Yeah.
You know, if you dot every I and cross every T and hold people accountable, it's you know, people can become, what's the word, legalistic.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying they are.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you definitely, you know, it says in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the spirit, you know, so you don't want to... Do not despise prophecies
or quench the
spirit.
The only thing is, I also understand if I was in that position, because then you've got people. Look, I used to go to Grantham, Pennsylvania, where there were literally 3,000 Jews that got together every July 4th. I came from upstate New York. We were meeting in Grantham, Pennsylvania at Messiah College, ironically. Mm-hmm. And all these Jews are dancing before the Lord, and it was all genuine.
Yeah.
But then you go some places and somebody smacks of maybe needing attention.
Yeah.
And so then that kind of quells the spirit. Like, well, how do you know who's the real McCoy and who's the chaff,
yeah,
who's the wheat? Who really loves Jesus and who is here just playing church?
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And so that's...
And so I can understand they have to... Even Pastor Alex, you know, he contains
keeps
it.
Order,
you know,
yeah.
He believes in it. And if you go to his e-teachings... He can show you right up here. He says, look at his show. I remember there was one Saturday morning in the Z-teaching, and says right there about the tongues. I don't know what Bible they're reading, because he takes
the
a
New
lot
King
of...
The New King James Version, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, well, and it's right there. I mean,
yeah.
But like you just said, do not... But there are people that take it to an extreme, and that, you know...
Right.
It's hard to get that balance. I mean, there was a time where the Pentecostal movement happened.
Yeah.
I was just reading about that in some book last night. And it's they all thought that anybody that was Pentecostal, charismatic, was on their way to hell. And this is like in the late 1800s,
yeah,
early 1900s.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the fruition of that movement has brought a lot of people to Jesus. But again, like, I have more of an appetite for the right division of the word.
Right.
That's why, you know, I loved what Jim taught us, the way he teached on Easter.
Yeah, and I think... You know, regarding tongues and speaking in tongues, even at Calvary, you'll speak with people one-on-one, and they'll tell you that in their private time,
closet.
You know, they do.
In their prayer
and,
closet. Okay,
and if, you know, you look at 1 Corinthians 14, it does encourage that people in a corporate setting refrain from speaking in tongues. You know, it says that not to do it at church, you know, in the corporate setting.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's not that they don't believe in tongues, it's just that... It's a private time thing, because it's between, you know, if a man speaks in tongues and no one understands him.
Yeah, we have some weird things that went down. For instance, I'll tell you quickly, then I want to get back to you, is I was in Schenectady, New York, went through a bad breakup with a young lady. This is 30-something years ago. I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
There's about six people praying, and Barry Feinstein, Jewish guy, used to sell shoes, and then he became a born-again, became a rabbi. We said then, hey, Barry, you're saving a lot of souls now, you know, shoe business and souls.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a joke. Anyway, there's about six or seven of us praying. One guy puts his hand on my shoulder and said, the Lord's telling me you're going to leave upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
You're going to live in Florida, somewhere outside of Orlando, and you're going to have a radio show. I was not in the radio business.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going to Africa. Then I ended up going down to Gerald Durston's Christian Retreat Center to do a concert. Then this Catholic lady invites me to go to Haiti and feed the hungry. I go. We come back here to Sarasota. They drive me over here. I end up singing for the Dodgers, I end up living here, and I end up with my own radio show 28 years later. But 2 years into it, I went, wow!
Yeah.
That prophetic word.
Right. Came true.
Is that amazing?
Right. And, you know, it's actually a prophetic word that ended up speaking about how I would go to Lebanon to...
Really?
Yeah,
Tell me about that.
So there was a pastor of a Portuguese church down in Port St. Lucie,
mm-hmm,
and he is with this team that cleans the office up in Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was still working there, he was up there, and one of the cleaning ladies was like, hey, the pastor wants to pray for you. And so I went, and he speaks Portuguese, but the cleaning lady speaks Portuguese and Spanish. She was translating it to Spanish because I can speak Spanish, or at least understand it and respond. And so, yeah, as he was praying, he said he felt like he had a word for me and that I was going to go to the Middle East. And I remember him saying like that I would be like Paul, and I would be spreading the word in Lebanon.
Ooh.
You know, and he also mentioned Israel. And he actually, it's ironic because he had actually mentioned that while I was over there, that I would meet my wife. And it's funny because in my mind, I was like, all right, so I'm going to end up meeting someone in Lebanon. But what ended up happening was I met, you know, I really got to know Lindsay while I was in Lebanon. We were talking over, you know, WhatsApp while I was there. So I think back and I was like, you know, it's funny how the Lord works when you look at any sort of prophecy. It's where, like, for example, you know, with Jesus, people thought that he was going to come and he was going to be some great conqueror that was going to deliver the Israelites from the Romans by the sword, right? But the sword was his word, you know. It's always a little different than what we expect.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way the Lord works.
We kind of gum up the works many times.
Exactly.
Now, how did you two meet prior to you going to Lebanon?
So we...
Oh, Calvary, you told me. Calvary.
Right, yeah, we met through the church. Actually...
Did you look across the room and go, some enchanted evening?
Well, it's funny. We spoke for about a month and a half before we actually even met in person.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
So
like texting or
exactly and calls
but you never met. How did you meet so you at least could text?
We met through a group chat that we had. With Calvary, like through the Calvary Young Adults. That's how we started talking. So and that was for about a month and a half, and you know, so I really fell in love with Lindsay for her heart for God and her personality. And
so for a month you didn't even see her.
Correct. I mean, yeah, there's
like the Wicked Witch of the East. Or
well, there's Facebook and social media and stuff like that. So we had.
She's really cute with those dimples, huh?
Yeah, she is, and those blue eyes. Yeah.
And how about you? What's your side of the story? How did you? So you're in this chat.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think? It looks like you want to say something.
Yeah. So what happened was he posted this like picture. Do you know what a meme is?
Yes.
M-E-M-E. Yes.
It's like a drawing of a caricature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he posted one, and I just liked it. You can like people's messages on this app. So I just liked it. And then I get some Facebook follow requests from him, and so I accepted it. And then he sent me a direct message saying...
It's getting kind of close. Yeah. Direct message. Watch out, baby. I don't know. Should I respond to that? You might get the wrong intentions here.
So he sent me a direct message. Actually, it wasn't him being interested. He actually invited me to the young adult group at Calvary.
Yeah.
Like to the small group. Sessions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you meet at homes or do you meet there?
In homes,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I like those.
Yeah, he hasn't seen me there, so... He reached out to invite me to go. So then after that, we didn't talk for maybe just a few days. I kind of just brushed it off. And then at the Calvary Christmas Eve service, he was up on the big screen. He did a little, what would you call it?
We did a video where I was speaking Lebanese. They had people speaking different languages. It was different Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which one I did, but anyway, I was saying the lyrics to a Christmas song about Jesus in Arabic. I was on the screen. She saw me. She was like, oh, there's that guy.
Can you sing a little of that now?
Well, I don't remember what song it was.
No.
But
I like the fall on your knees.
You know, that's
hear
it.
The
that's
angels
it. Yeah,
called.
That was
off.
It. Yeah, that was it.
Really?
That was the song. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, but we were speaking it, so I wasn't singing it.
And I love that line.
Yeah.
Fall on your knees, hear the angels calling. Hosanna, or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, Christ divine.
I like that fall on knees business.
Because,
you know, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And also, when you fall to your knees to touch the sky, I love that song. It's a modern song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, yeah. So what happens next?
So then, okay, so I saw him on the big screen doing that. So then that brought
on
him
the
to my
big screen. What's, like, what do you mean the big screen?
At the
church?
Performing Arts Center. That's where they had
Vero Beach High School.
Yeah, Vero Beach High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, Christmas.
I've actually been on that stage for about 20 years now.
So that's where Calvary had the service.
Okay.
So then he's on this big screen. So then that reminded me of him. So then I texted him Merry Christmas.
Well, did you first go, wow, this is one handsome dude?
Yeah, and then I was like...
You're like, movie star, good looks. Like, whoa, is this the dude I've been talking to? Hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
yes,
pretty
I
much.
I think I will maybe communicate with him. How about another direct message?
So I reached back out, and then... okay, so that was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So he was leaving for Lebanon on...
A few days later.
Yeah, like January 1st. Yeah. So a few days later. So
that's
in between...
That's always good. Meet somebody and then disappear.
Yeah.
No, really. It's a strategy. I remember when I was a kid and we were at a bar. My friend Denny Gallier, the women all swooned over. He says, when you meet a girl and you're at a bar, get her number and then leave. If something psychological goes on.
Uh-huh.
And it is true. When I met Barbara, I met her. The next day, she had to go out of town for a funeral. Was gone for a couple of weeks. We talked on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
For some reason,
yeah,
it
that
allows
distance,
her, you know, yeah,
the comfort.
Yeah. Let's it breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So when in between those 5 days, from like Christmas to January 1st, he tried to make plans with me to do stuff, but I wasn't sure, so I kind of just like stepped back.
Sure.
And then he left for Lebanon for that like month.
Yeah.
So during that whole time, we were still talking. So, I mean, it just, like, slowly, like, increased.
Yeah.
And then by the time that he came back, it was just, like, obvious that...
Yeah.
I mean, our intentions were the same, like, yeah, you know, like, moving fast. So, yeah, during that whole time,
you recognize the Lord in each other.
Amen.
Yes, yeah, yes, definitely.
Because it was all with intention, you know. We weren't just talking, like, you know, if it didn't have that intention, I think... you know, obviously, like, being of the opposite gender, you want to be mindful of, you know, having the right boundaries for just friendship. Mm-hmm. But if you have that intention, you know, and you're talking that much, then when
it's
you
not
know,
like the world where you're seeking out to use somebody. It's here where this is a godly...
Exactly.
It's a foreshadowing of our relationship with Jesus.
Exactly. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our eternal, because he says he's coming back for his bride.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Holy bride.
Right. So we actually read a book together while I was in Lebanon.
Even though she's an American, you're there. You read a book together.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were like
what
on
was
track.
The book?
It's called Single, Dating, Engaged, Married. Yeah. pretty straightforward.
Like jumping right into it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got this book. You interested?
That's
single
literally what
dating
she said.
And marriage. Oh. Maybe literally. She didn't like it. She was like, I don't think so. I got to go now.
Yeah. Well, she was already reading it.
Yeah.
She was already reading it.
She recommended it to me.
Oh, okay,
and,
cool.
You know, it was.
Yeah, she's like, hey, we got to filter out this thing and see if you're agreeable to the things that I'm reading.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So it is. It's a Christian author.
Just checking it out.
And he uses pretty much every single point of scripture that has to do with single, dating, engaged, married.
Mm.
You know, I mean, he does talk about dating biblically. You know, it's not necessarily defined. Like, there's no such thing. Like, either there's only two steps, really, in the Bible. It's single and married. And he also talks about when you are single, the blessing of being single, how you're kind of more free to move. And
Jesus was single.
Yeah. And Paul so
ended up being single. I don't know if he was married and what happened there, but.
Yeah. But, you know, when they are single, their ministry is a little more free and fluid. And, you know, it not only got me prepared for what was to come, but it gave me a new sense of gratitude for my single season, because I wasn't able to go to Lebanon. You know, I could pretty much go wherever I wanted, you know, with just a backpack on my back.
Yeah.
And
do you think that you're prepared to do missionary work in your future?
With his lead, yes.
With the Lord's lead?
Both.
Oh, I see. Oh, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've had in love with somebody who was not excited about my missionary trips. When I explained I was going to Africa, she was like, oh, no, this isn't going to work. I want to have a family and a home. I said, we'll travel together. No, you'll always be traveling.
Yeah.
Well, so essentially I gave up, you know, a love of my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, Dad, 100-fold this life, 100-fold life to come. I've actually gotten 100-fold in this life already.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, it's a whole story. But anyway,
right.
He is a marvel to behold, and God is not a man that he should lie. So when he says something, he can count on it.
Right.
So this is great. So you two are reading this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we read.
And you're pleased with what he's saying?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, actually, I just told him about the book. I didn't say, can you read this, or I didn't hint at it at all. And he actually just told me that he downloaded it and that he just kind of sprung it up. Like, oh, I'm actually on page, 75 of this book already in one day.
I read the book in 2 days.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Yeah. It was, 260 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You saw her, you said, I'm reading the book.
Right? It was just such a good book, I mean, honestly.
It was really good.
I would recommend it to any
So you two had met at the church by this time when he took off? You met once?
No.
We still hadn't met?
No.
Oh, my word. So you fly back from the missionary trip. Is she waiting at the airport?
Not that much.
The angel's calling.
We had a date set up, and so we ended up going on a date. Mm-hmm. And we met each other, and it went really well. And, so we just kept dating, for, a few weeks. And we started talking about, getting married. I mean, we were already talking about marriage.
Wow.
We had exchanged
ideas. Before you met?
No,
this was after I'd got back.
Well, I want to know the first time you meet. What happens? I mean, there's got to be. Where do you meet?
So
Panera Bread. No, where?
We went on a date down in Jensen Beach, actually. We went to Kyle G's. It's a seafood place on the water.
Do you live up here now?
I live in Vera.
No,
we took a drove.
Yeah, we took a drive.
Took a drove.
We took a drone, actually. We flew on a drone.
Did you go down the river road?
A1A, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
There's
the
also
way.
The river road. Oh. That's beautiful going down. If you take that from Fort Pierce, there's a river road. It's gorgeous. You have to
You're talking about Indian River Drive.
It's lovely, Jensen Beach.
Yeah,
I like to go to the Barnes & Noble down there.
That's not
so bad. Winston, you're going to let me know when we're at 58 minutes, right? Okay. Thank you, sir. Give me the thumbs up there. Okay, so go ahead. So you go down there and have your first day. Now, wait a second. You pick her up and she gets in the car. This is your first time seeing
so
her.
So she drives to my house, and then she's going to park her car there, and I go.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
so
we
what
see
happens
each other.
When she walks up to?
It was, I think we were both very nervous.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we still, it was kind of like, we knew each other very well, but you're still kind of meeting a whole new person.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, this is three-dimensional.
Right. So, it was just that whole.
There's fragrances involved and colors. Wow.
So, I mean, there was definitely, it was kind of surreal, because it's I've been talking with this person for this long, and, now we're together, we're driving. And
did you feel the spirit within you?
Yeah.
Or something?
It was just I was so caught up in how, not weird, but just how surreal it was, because of the fact that we had been talking for so long.
So you already had a relationship that was a month and a half old, and you hadn't met each other.
Exactly, yeah. So,
that's wild.
Yeah. So it took some time, I guess, for all that to settle and for us to really align with meeting in person to all the time we had spent over the phone, and then once that happened, we were already talking about getting married, because at that point we had evaluated each other. I had spoken with a lot of different people, asking their advice just in terms of marriage and who to marry, how to know a good partner. And even when I was in Lebanon, I was asking my cousins over there. I asked the pastor that I was doing mission work with over there about it, and he was giving me some guidance. I asked my pastors here. I mean, I spoke with everyone.
Well, it's written that there's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Right, exactly. So that proverb was definitely key for me in that process. And so, they say, when you know, and I just felt like the Lord was leading me towards marriage at this point in my life, and I feel like Lindsay.
No, you're not married yet.
No. Oh well, actually, yeah, we are. We just haven't had the wedding.
You did.
Yeah.
You got married before the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did.
Not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
Should I not have asked you?
No. If people ask,
your mother will listen to the show.
No.
Yeah.
No, she knows.
She knows.
Oh,
yeah.
She knows.
My mom knows too. Yeah.
Your mother seemed to be a real woman of God, is she?
She is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only met her briefly on the front row there at the Easter, but she just seemed to glow and have
She's amazing.
Cool. Good to have a godly mom, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good guidance. That's great. So you two are married now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, praise Mr. Lord. And Mrs. Yeah. This is the first time you're telling Uncle Rhett.
Yeah, it's the first time he asked.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so praise God, honestly, and we're just excited for this next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much we have. Oh, we only have a minute and 24 seconds. So briefly, mm-hmm. how did you come to know? Was there a point in your life, young lady, where there was, you know, you have knowledge of Jesus, but then mm-hmm. there is a true conversion that takes uh-huh. place?
There wasn't any like moment that I like remember.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up in like a Christian household. We weren't like that religious, but you know, like what was it? Like the Easter.
Christmas Easter,
yes, yes.
Yeah, CEO.
Yeah.
Christmas
so,
Easter.
Mm-hmm. So we would like do that, but I really just found him on my own, honestly. About like 3 years ago, I was just going off like a really dark path, and then about like 2 years ago, also, I just really like came to him by myself, going to church like all by myself.
Really?
Yeah, I just really took those steps.
He was drawing you.
Yeah. So then it just, I mean, just grows.
Well, that's
stronger.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to hear more of the testimony that's forthcoming. Congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's very exciting.
Appreciate it.
And thanks for sharing your story on my show.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the Lord was visiting us here today. We had
Amen.
A lot of laughs, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
A lot of good stuff.
Two and three are gathered in his name.
He is in their midst. Yeah. Hey, while you're here, Jesus, I could use that. You know the thing about my house. God bless you both.
Thank you.
God bless you also.
You got to take a break, and don't forget, I'm Rhett Palmer. Thanks for listening.
And bleeding on the road to Jericho, overtaken by robbers, left laying where his blood does flow. Who will be his neighbor? Who will lend him a hand? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan man? Up walks the priest, steps to the other side, hasn't got the inclination, he just walks on by. There's a man broken and bleeding on the road to Jericho. Will the priest be his neighbor? No, I don't think so. Up walks the Levite. He knows the letter of the law, but he just keeps on walking, pretending there's nothing he saw. There's a man broken and bleeding on the road to Jericho. Will the Levite be his neighbor? No, I don't think so. Up walks the Samaritan man, common clothes with dirty hands, leans down, puts the man on his mule, takes him to an inn and pays what's due. There's a man broken, bleeding.
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable?